Welcome to the Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon. Please enjoy the podcast from My Lesbian Radio.
Hello and welcome to episode 37 of the Lesbian Book Club with me, your host, Claire Lydon. This month we have a terrific interview with US author Annette Morey, and you'll hear that coming up in a few moments' time. But before we get to that, we're going to see what's hot in the UK and US Amazon lesbian fiction charts, as well as filling you in on what I've been up to over the last month or so, and, you know, doing a general roundup of my year. But first up, the Amazon charts. Now, this month in the chart sees a return of the ever-popular J.A. Armstrong, a.k.a. Nancy Ann Healy, with Book 10 in her widely read By Design series. Now, as I record this, this one is number one on both sides of the pond, and it features the well-known characters of Candice and Jameson as they navigate the choppy political waters as Candice wins the presidential nomination and is now in the run-up to being president. Unlike in real life, I think this one does in fact end up with a woman in charge, which is just the way we like it. And I'm sure this is a meaty slice of political life, as well as an ample serving of family life and what it takes to survive in public office, even when you're on the right side of history. So if politics and family are your bag, give it a go. Also doing well on both sides of the pond is The Hangover, Book 3 in the Vincenti series from Emma Nichols. Now, this is the third book from Emma this year. I think she launched the first one in July and the second one in August, so she's been rapid fire in her novels. And this one follows the lives and loves of Lauren, Anna and Eva again. The first two books painted a glorious picture, frankly, of life with a ton of cash, loads of delicious food, lots of heartache, and a charming vineyard in warmer climes. The cover for this one shows a woman who looks like she's drunk one too many glasses of said red wine from said vineyard. This time the focus is on Eva, with Anna and Lauren given a drama break considering the first two books were drama-rama for them. But readers are lapping it up, so maybe you should too. And those first two books actually are available on Kindle Unlimited, so if you've got one of those subscriptions, it's a no-brainer. If you're in the mood for something more snowy and festive, and who isn't, frankly, Cara Malone is serving up a book called That Old Emerald Mountain Magic. And it's got a snowy ski lodge on the front, which gets a big tick, thumbs up from me. This one is the story of Carmen, who's a bit bar humbug about having a cold Christmas. She prefers a hot beach in Malibu. However, being dragged there by her family up the snowy mountain, she meets Joy, whose whole life is said snowy emerald mountain. And I think Carmen might just be about to thaw a little under Joy's knowing hand. This one sounds festive and fun, and you can't beat a cover piled with snow at this time of year, I reckon, so give that one a go. Also burning up the charts, as I record this, is Lee Winter with her new book, The Brutal Truth. Now, Lee was on this podcast way back when. If I was organised, I'd know the number, but I can't remember. I'll put it in the show notes. Anyway, she's been something of a cult favourite for her thrillers and superhero stories since she launched. But this one is a straight-up romance, which when I interviewed Lee, whatever episode that was, she said she'd never do. So she's clearly come around to the brilliance and the beauty that is romance. But as ever with a Lee Winter story, we're on familiar ground in a newsroom, and there's an ice queen. This time around, it's Maddie Gray, a floundering reporter who's secretly drawn to her ice queen boss, Elena Bartel. There's a trip to Oz involved to get a story scoop, along with a bet to only tell each other the truth. What could possibly go wrong? It sounds like the plot of a Mel Gibson movie, but thankfully this one doesn't feature Mel Gibson. That would be a bit wrong in a lesbian romance, wouldn't it? But it's doing very well. It's getting great reviews, so give it a go. And finally, my book, Twice in a Lifetime, is also still top five in the UK. And that's like 6 weeks after it was launched. So I just wanted to say a huge thank you if you've read it, and especially if you reviewed it too, because reviews are like gold dust. They are. So sprinkle them on me, I say. But thank you very much, really, if you have read it and reviewed it. If you haven't read it yet, and you're on Kindle Unlimited, you can get it for free. And if you're not, well, it's money well spent, frankly. And you deserve a present in this run-up to Christmas as well. It's not all about buying for other people. As I always say to my wife, whenever Christmas is coming up, I always go out with the very good intentions of buying presents for everyone else. And I always come back with more presents for me. You know, that's just the way I roll. And then I buy other people presents that I think they'd like, secretly that I'd like. But anyway, a present for yourself would be twice in a lifetime. And it's the story of Harriet and Sally, who had a thing when they were in school. And they meet again 17 years later when their suitcases get swapped at an airport. Will the pair reconnect and find love second time round? I couldn't possibly let you in on that secret now, could I? I'm just the writer. I don't know. You'll have to read it. You'll have to read it. It's a great book. So that's the chart roundup for the beginning of December. And welcome one, welcome all to the final month of 2017, the denouement of the year. Like that French word, see? I did French for 5 years in school. I know denouement and bonjour. Quick sip of tea. I just made a cup of tea and I don't want it to go cold. So 2017, it's been a funny old year, I think. Generally, politically, socially, with all your heroes being taken or blowing, imploding one by one under the sexual harassment, sexual assault scandal. But personally for me, it's been an up and down year, I think, because, and I know it's traditional at this time of year for people to say it's flown by, but honestly, I don't feel like that this year. I feel like I've lived through every month of this year, and it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing, because I think I've really sort of knuckled down to the business side of being an author this year and put a lot more into it from that side of things. And so I've been sort of tracking and doing businessy things. But also, so I've also done a lot of travelling this year. So it's been, there's a lot of the travelling that feels like it was done last year, but it's all been done this year. So I feel like I've packed a lot in, even though I haven't written quite as much as I did in 2016, but I nearly have. And I wrote three books, released three books. So I'm pretty pleased about that. But first up, let's talk about as well something that happened in November that was had a profound effect on me, and I'm sure everybody who was there. And that is the Diva Literary Festival, the inaugural one, which happened in November in Birmingham. And frankly, it was a terrific event all round. So if you were there, I'm sure you agree. And if you weren't, you should definitely come next year. It was a great venue in Birmingham, the Birmingham Hilton. It was well organised and it was inspirational. And most of all, it was great to get together with fiction fans and celebrate books, reading and writing. I had a fangirl moment with Stella Duffy, along with Val McDermid. But it was just brilliant to be in a space with so much positive, creative female energy. It was all sorts of fabulous. I didn't win the prize for Best Romance. That went to Kiki Archer for her great book, A Fairy Tale of Possibilities. But if you nominated me or you voted for me, I want to say a huge thank you. It really did mean so much. And it was genuinely an honour to be on the shortlist. I know everybody always says that. And on the night, I had people coming up to me saying, oh, really sorry you didn't win. But honestly, it was just brilliant to be nominated and to see my name up on the screen. And really well done to Kiki for winning, and also to Harper Bliss for taking the recommended, like the second prize, I think it was the recommended or something, for her Pink Bean series, also well deserved. But like I say, thank you so much if you did nominate me and or vote for me. But the whole weekend was a huge win, frankly. It was great to meet so many people who'd read my books, that's always brilliant. And also to be on a couple of panels and share my experience of writing lesfic, which has brought nothing but brilliance and great things into my life. And so I really hope the festival runs again next year. And if you didn't go this year, you definitely get down there next year. It's really worth the admission fee and it was just a great atmosphere. And great also to see Desert Hearts being screened again and be in the same room as the director, because that book really did change my film really did change my life. Okay, let's get back to the end of 2017, what has been a productive year for me, no doubt. As I said, in 2017, I launched three novels, which isn't bad going, since I had 3 months off to travel. I launched All I Want Forever in January, A Girl Called London in June, and most recently, Twice in a Lifetime in October. And all three books are very different, but I'm very proud of them all. The first two are in series, the third one is a standalone book, and they all did well in their different ways. It's been a good year writing-wise, I think. What's more, this year I launched my first audiobook, which was quite a feat, hiring a director, going through the casting process, and then directing the whole process and getting it up, learning how to market. It was like learning how to publish all over again. But it was great fun, and it's been a great success, frankly. So the good news is, if you are an audiobook fan, which I suspect you might be because you're listening to this, I've just commissioned a narrator for Twice in a Lifetime. So I'm really excited about that, and that will hopefully be out by the end of March next year. Plus, Audible Studios have bought the rights to the London series, as I reported last month. So London Calling, This London Love, and A Girl Called London will all be out next year, along with book four in the London series, not yet titled, not yet written, but it will be out. But the other three are in production already, so hopefully they should all be out. I'm guessing Q1, but I'm not exactly sure, but I reckon March, April time they should be out. I haven't done my goals for next year yet. I should be doing them, but looking down my goals for last year, I've achieved pretty much all of them. Not all of them. That would be really, really well. Well done, me. Let's all have a glass of champagne. I haven't achieved all of them, but I've achieved way more of them, actually. I set myself quite big goals, and I haven't achieved a couple of them. Like, I haven't done a non-fiction book, which I was going to do, and I haven't written a book in a different genre, but I've learnt about ads, I've done an audiobook, I've written three books, I've done networking and collaboration, I've done a lot, ticked off a lot of my things. The only thing I haven't done is lose a bit of weight and get a bit more healthy, but it's in the works. So yeah, that's going to be in 2018, front and centre. But I should be doing my 2018 goals very soon, because I'm leaving for the country at the beginning of December to attend my nephew's wedding in Sydney, which is I'm very looking forward to. And then I'm on to Thailand for a relaxing Christmas break, which is great. But while I'm away, I will still be working on the fourth book in the London Romance series, as well as reading a stack of lesfic, I hope. So there's a lot to look forward to next year, not least doing the podcast all over again for another 12 months. Hooray! And releasing more books. I've already got the next two planned. That would be London 4 and also a collaborative book, which I will tell you more about next year, as well as all the audiobooks. Very exciting times in 2018. I'm excited. I hope you're excited. Finally, to finish the year, I've written a blog about my top festive picks for lesbian fiction, including Georgia Beers, Jane Rexig, Jen Silver, and Jay. Clearly, you have to have a name beginning with J or G to get into this roundup. But there's some great lesbian fiction out there for Christmas. Not enough of it, actually. I was looking at the gay fiction charts, male sort of romance and fiction, and their charts are clogged up with Christmas books and ours are not. So clearly I need to write another one to go with the two I've already got out there. If you are in the mood for a holiday read, All I Want for Christmas is my Christmas novel. And if you haven't signed up to my mailing list yet, do so now and get a free Christmas novella called It Had to Be You. And get your Christmas on. So all that's left for me to say is happy Christmas if you celebrate it. I hope you have a fantastic one, and happy few days off if you don't. Happy holidays to one and all. Thanks for listening this year. It really does mean a lot. Do get in touch and let me know who you liked on the podcast for 2018. I've got the first 3 months sorted, but I'm always open to suggestions. And I will be back in 2018 with more books and more authors to tell you about. I'm sure it's going to be fabulous. Think of me on Christmas Day on a Thai beach, mojito in hand. Yay! And now it's time for the interview with the lovely Annette Murray. I hope you enjoy. So joining me today is US author Annette Morey, whose novel Locked Inside won a Goldie Award in 2016 for contemporary romance, some might say the biggest prize in lesfic. But that's just one of a number of books Annette's written, her latest being The Thanksgiving Baby Caper. Annette lives in the beautiful Pacific Northwest with her wife and a handful of furry kids, so welcome, Annette.
Thank you very much. Great intro.
Oh, good. I'm glad you approved of it. So, what have you been up to so far today? Because I know it's quite early in the day for you. It's 5 o'clock for me, but 9 a.m. for you.
Actually, that's not early for me. Usually, I get up around 6:30 on the weekends. And what's up for me today is, unfortunately, I've had this wonderful time with my wife for the last 3 or 4 days, and now I have to head back to Rainy Forks, Washington, which is where I'm currently working. So that's like a 6.5 hour drive. So after we're done here, I'll be heading out.
Oh, wow.
On road.
Wow. Okay. Is that what you do like every week? Do you go and work away?
Well, it's only been about 6 weeks since we've started this, and we've been really fortunate because we've had numerous opportunities to connect. So we've almost, well, I think we have seen each other every weekend since I moved there. Mm-hmm. I think that'll change in the future after we get all these travel arrangements that we've been doing. Like we went to Florida for my nephew's wedding and a bunch of other things.
Uh-huh. So, okay. So it's a bit of a changing environment at the moment.
It is. Yeah. Yes. So once again, we're living apart, which is not ideal, but we can do it for a few years.
Yeah. So paint a picture of where you're speaking to me from today. So what can you see around you?
Today, I'm in Moses Lake, where my wife lives with our 5 furry cats.
Yep.
The picture is, it's kind of gray today, which is unusual for Moses Lake. And so it's cloudy and a bit cold. So Moses Lake, Washington State, is really interesting. It has different geographic areas. So Moses Lake tends to have the four seasons, really cold in the winter, really hot in the summer. And then Forks, where I live during the week, is the rainiest place in the United States. It's where they filmed, well, they didn't film, but it's where the Twilight series was set.
Uh-huh.
You know, the popular vampire series.
I know it, yeah.
So it's really beautiful there, but very wet.
Okay.
Compared to mostly sunshine on the east side of the state where Moses Lake is.
Okay. I love Moses Lake. That's a great name. Great name.
It is. And I've set several of my books in Moses Lake because I do love this area.
Cool. So tell me a little bit about your writing journey and how you got started.
Well, about 5 years ago, I moved to Moses Lake and we bought a condo. And we still had a house in a place called Cleland, which is a small town right on the other side of the pass, the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
And we lived apart again for about 3.5, maybe 4 years. And then we finally sold our house and my wife moved here, and now we're on this journey again. But the moral of the story is that I had all this extra time, and I was really bored because I'm not much of a TV watcher except for some news.
Yeah.
And so I was reading, and I just kind of joked, and I said, I could write these books. And so I started on that journey, and I just put something out, and I got really lucky because I sent it to Affinity Rainbow Publications. And even though there was a lot to fix, because I didn't really know about writing,
mm-hmm.
they spent a whole lot of time with me, helping me understand the craft, understand things, and that's where my journey started. I just had a whole lot of free time.
Oh, right. Cool. Yeah. I've kind of heard that story, I think, from a few writers, actually. Yeah. A lot of people, when they're traveling for work and they're just a bit, you know, bored on a plane or airport. So, yeah, it's I think it started a few literary careers.
It must have. Yeah. I have kind of a vivid imagination. So I had a dream and I decided, oh, wow, this would make a great story. And so I started writing.
And have you ever built in, because as you said, you've had quite a lot of experience with long distance relationship. So have you built that into any of your plots?
You know, I haven't. That's one area that I haven't really explored, which is interesting. I mean, there is definitely my family, my personal situations that are sort of woven here and there, exaggerated a bit or embellished a bit. But that's one I haven't really done much with.
Okay.
Now you've got my brain working.
There you go, there you go. That's an idea just thrown out there. So so if someone has never read one of your books before, how would you describe one of your books, your sort of canon of work to them?
Well, I've been recently using this term called romash, because what I do is I mash up romance with something else, whether it's mystery or action or sci-fi or paranormal, historical. I've just dabbled in pretty much everything. But I think a lot of what people say is you just never know what to expect from one of my books, because they don't meet the formula. They're very non-formulaic, which can be, I think, a good and bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so romash, I like that. I like that a lot. So what are you generally mashing up with? Is it action? What is the general mashup?
It's been, seriously, I have dabbled in everything. I've done fantasy, I've done paranormal, I've done mystery, I've done romantic intrigue, I've done dystopian,
okay,
light sort of science fiction. I just ventured into historical, which was, oh, my goodness, that is, I think that's a really hard genre, because it's so so much research.
Yeah.
I did more research than I did. I spent more time in research than writing.
Okay. Which book was that?
It's actually a novella that Allie Spooner, who's a fellow writer with Affinity Rainbow Publications, she started a book that has sort of a pirate kind of theme set way back in 1790s, and I wrote her and I said, this is a great story.
Mm-hmm.
She said, hey, why don't you add to it? So we have the two novellas are coming out probably next year in April.
Mm-hmm.
And hers is called The Chandler's Daughter, and mine's called Forbidden Love, and it's about a African freed slave who falls in love with a mission woman.
Right, okay. So not only are you doing historical, you're doing pirates as well.
Well, she did the pirate.
I
stayed away from the pirate other than just sort of to mention some historical pirates that came about at a little bit later or a little bit earlier than the time that this novella is set in.
Okay.
Lots of fun doing the research on that. I love doing research.
Yeah, I can imagine. No, that sounds cool. So that's out next year.
That's out next year, yeah.
Okay. So I read Locked Inside for this interview, which I really enjoyed, I have to say. And it was mainly because it was so very different. It's not my normal read because it's a coming-of-age sort of YA-NA tale. But I love the way you dealt with disability and had the lead, Carly, falling in love with Belinda, who, despite the fact Belinda had locked-in syndrome, which is not the usual for a lead in a lesbian romance. So what made you decide to tackle that subject? And that must have also taken a lot of research, right?
It did. It did take a lot of research. I was listening to a story about this gentleman who had gone to college and really had had this locked-inside syndrome. And I thought, wow, that would make a great story, a great love story, because there's so many stereotypes about individuals with disabilities and individuals with serious illnesses, and sometimes I like to sneak in sort of social commentary, for lack of better terminology, and I thought this would make a great story to sort of weave some of those concepts in. It's interesting that you say it's a young adult or a new adult romance, and it was never intended to be that, but others have also said, oh yeah, this is a new adult coming out sort of story.
Mm-hmm.
I never really even thought of it like that. I just thought of it as an interesting story, a romance with a little bit different kind of topic, and I like to do those. In fact, probably the best book I've ever written is coming out in January, and it's called Unconventional Lovers, and it's a very unconventional tale with also very unconventional lead characters, and I'm not going to say too much more about it because I'll wait to do some teasers and hope that people see it as a really sweet, wonderful love story rather than focusing on some of the stereotypes that folks have about certain individuals and the individuals that are the two of the main characters. There's actually a double love story in this that's, I think, interesting.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. So that's coming out in January, so people can keep a lookout for that. Getting back to so Locked Inside, so yeah, have you had a lot of response from people, I don't know, with people with locked-in syndrome, but just, yeah, a response to having such an unconventional lead character?
It's certainly recognized as probably to date, before Unconventional Lovers comes out, because some of my beta readers have said, oh no, this is the best story you've ever written. But, definitely it has gotten the most feedback from individuals who were very touched by the story and thought it was a great story. So I've gotten a lot of really positive feedback about it. Nobody who, you know, locked inside syndrome is a very, very rare condition. So I haven't received any feedback from anybody who had the syndrome or who had really been close to somebody who had the syndrome, because you know Lesvik is a pretty small
I'd be surprised if anybody did, because like you say, it is a very unusual syndrome, thankfully, but I have heard about it and I've heard stories of people with it, so it was very interesting to read it. And like you said, it is a YA sort of NA story, and you did really pull off the trick of sort of getting inside a teenager's head. So how did you go about that, or was that just something that happened?
I don't know. You know, like I've said before, I'm sort of a fly by the seat of the pants kind of writer, and things just sort of evolve. I don't know. I sort of tapped into, when I was younger, and sort of those brand new feelings and just the confusion, and I just tried to think back to when I was in that space and what that felt like for me. I suppose that was the way I did it. I honestly don't know how I pulled it off. I'm not the first person who's ever said that. They said, wow, you did a good job of telling the story through this young woman's voice.
Yeah, you really did. I did wonder if you had like any journals or anything that you went back to look at, because I know when I was a teenager, I kept a load of journals, and I wish I still had them, but I don't know what happened to them. So I just wondered if you had done that.
No, I don't have any journals. I've never been a journaler, so I just had to try to think back to those experiences that I've had in my life and try to remember those.
Yeah. Cool. And as we said, it won a Goldie Award, which you must have been thrilled about. And were you at the awards? Because I know, obviously, you were in the States.
I was. I went to the awards. It was actually the first year I'd ever gone to the awards, because the year before I was so shy and really, it was just an amazing thing, and I was a little bit overwhelmed at the first GCLS I ever went to. So this was the second one I had gone to, and they had asked me to present an award, and I said, really? Why would you want me to present an award? But yeah, I agreed to it, and the reason why Carly had asked me to present an award, because she knew that I was getting the Goldie, and it was a shock. It was an absolute, I was like, really? They called my name?
Yeah, so. I know, I imagine. It must have been absolutely thrilling, though. And like I said, it's kind of, you kind of won the gold standard Goldie, didn't you?
Yeah, I understand. It's fairly competitive to,
yeah,
to win the romance category.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. It wasn't under the YA category, which, again, I never, ever considered it really a YA romance. I thought thought it was more dramatic fiction.
Right. And you just released recently The Thanksgiving Baby Caper, which is a prequel to your book, The Organisation. So what prompted doing a shorter book around that? It sounds like a right old family drama.
It is, and there is definitely probably some remnants of my own Thanksgiving experiences in that book, or actually it's really a short story. Really what prompted it is I've always been a person who kind of resists doing sequels, and so I wrote this book called Asset Management, and everybody loved Asset Management. They kept poking at me to write another book, and so a while ago I wrote this Thanksgiving story right after Asset Management, and then I finally capitulated to writing a sequel, and so I wrote The Organization. So I kind of call The Thanksgiving Baby Caper an in-betweenquel, because it's really set in the time frame between when Asset Management came out and the characters in that to the same characters that are in The Organization, that was kind of a sequel to Asset Management.
Okay.
And it has the main characters that are set in both stories in this sort of in-between time.
Right.
It was really fun to write.
Yeah, it sounds
it. I think I am done now, though, with that series. So even when people say, come on, do another story, I think I'm going to resist.
I don't know. You could come up with another word, though, Annette. You know, like you've already come up with Romash and in-betweenquel. So I'm loving your word, sort of, yeah, the new words you're coming up with. So I reckon you could come up with another one, definitely. And I was reading your blogs recently, and I found them very entertaining. You had one about Thanksgiving and how you avoid big family get-togethers and just go out to restaurants with a few of your family. So did you have a nice Thanksgiving this year, as it was just last week?
Oh, yeah, it was great. I love my nephew. So there were my two nephews and my nephew's wife and then my nephew's wife's sister and my other nephew, his girlfriend couldn't make it. She's a nurse and she had to work on Thanksgiving, but we had a great time. They're really cool kids and very, very liberal, and we sort of share the same politics, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, that always makes things a lot easier, doesn't it? Especially in these current times.
yes, that's true. That's what I think makes sometimes getting together with my family. I have one sister who doesn't share most of the rest of the family's politics, and that sometimes causes a bit of controversy, and we should just stay away from politics, but we can't help ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tricky sometimes. I know with Brexit we've had a few run-ins with friends and family, but never mind, we also love each other. And this year, I have to tell you that I've got some American friends living in London, and we went round to their house on Friday night, the day after Thanksgiving, and I had my first ever taste of pumpkin pie, and I have to say it was delicious, so it won't be my last.
Oh yes, we had some pumpkin hot drinks that were creamy, and oh, they were so good. There was like a pumpkin liqueur, and it was delicious. I love pumpkin spice.
Yeah, it sounds like anything pumpkin. Let's make it into a drink or some food.
Yes.
And also on your blogs, you were saying you've been having a bit of trouble with writer's block of late. So are you over that now?
I think it's more getting the time to write, because with the move and sort of getting settled and really having to concentrate more hours on a brand new job, it's been a little bit more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I have free time at night, I haven't really been spending it too much writing. But I did manage to squeak out 1,000 words, got some good response on that. So I do believe I'll be working on that, because people want me to continue to write about this new story that I don't really have a good working title, so I'm going to go with one that somebody gave me, which is called The Book Witch.
Okay. So that's good. So you've managed to squeak out 1,000, and that's from that, you know, you can just go on and then write 10,000 and then another 10,000. But as you said, you have got some books coming out next year anyway, because I was also reading on your blog that you were unemployed for a bit, and so you wrote a load of stories. So now the ones you're writing now will be out the following year. So how many books are you planning to release next year that you've already got written?
Oh, so there are 4 full novels and then the combination book with Allie Spooner. So that's a novella.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I have 4 full books and a novella.
Wow.
And maybe even I'm also the vice president for Stone Soup Community Press, which is a nonprofit that helps to support gay and lesbian charities, in addition to GCLS and some other charities that are around lesbian books, and so there is a story that they may publish that I've given to them to help them make some money, and that may or may not come out next year. And then I've got a couple of short stories that are in different anthologies that are coming out.
Cool. So you've got a busy year, and you've got time to work out your writing processes now your sort of circumstances are changing. So that's great news. And when you're in writing flow, do you have like word counts? Do you have any particular things, rituals that you do?
I don't really have rituals, but when I am flowing, I usually like to write about 1,000 words a night. That seems to be a pretty good goal.
Mm-hmm.
When I was unemployed, it was more like 2,000-4,000 words a day, because mm-hmm. I had all day to write. But, you know, when you're working full time, 1,000 words is a pretty aggressive goal.
Yeah, no, that's great. I'm always in awe of people who work full time and write as well, because I began writing after I'd been made redundant. And so so I've only ever done it, you know, with all the time in the world, which can sometimes count against you, but I hope to make it work. So I think it's a great thing. And I've seen you around as well in lesbian Facebook groups, and you're a very avid reader of lesbic as well as a writer. So when did that come about? Has that always been the case?
It's always been the case. I've always been a reader, a book nerd. I mean, all my life, I've always been a reader. I've loved to read. In fact, you know, I was one of those nerdy kids who, instead of going outside and playing, I would read all day. So my favorite places to go to were libraries. And my mother was a big reader, and mm-hmm. so is my older sister. So I suppose I got the bug that way.
Yeah.
I didn't really exclusively read lesbic until probably maybe the last 3 or 4 years, mostly because when I was reading so much, you know, I would go to the bookstores and you'd get a new lesbic book that would come out maybe once a month, and you would be eagerly awaiting that book. So I'd go to the bookstores and pick up a brand new book. Now with ebooks and just the number of lesbic writers out there, there's just so much to choose from that there's plenty of offerings. So pretty much the last 3 to 4 years, almost 100% of what I've been reading has been lesbic, and mm-hmm. I love it.
Mm. Yeah, no, I agree. There's never been a better time to be a writer or a reader, I think, because it's, you know, all the gateways are down, and for readers, so much choice, which is awesome. And what's your favourite thing about writing when you're in flow, and what's the least favourite thing, do you think?
Oh, wow. Favourite thing about writing is just the opportunity to tell a story in a way that touches people.
Mm-hmm.
Least favourite part is usually I'm really flowing in the beginning, and I'm really flowing at the end of the story. And then there's that part I call the mushy middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have the hardest time having the words flow right in the middle of the story, because I'm not quite sure where I want it to go. Once mm-hmm. I get and sort of push through that mushy middle, then the words almost seem to write themselves.
Yeah.
As I come to the end.
Yeah, yeah. No, I hear you on that one. I am currently in a mushy middle of my current book, so it's I'm fighting to get out of the swamp, but I know I will in the end. And have you ever been given a best piece of writing advice?
The two pieces of writing advice that I think I try to adhere to is write what you know and write from your heart.
Mm-hmm. So, but you haven't always adhered to that, have you? Because locked-in syndrome, historical pirates, you know, exhibit A and B. But
true. Yeah, that's true. You know, a lot of my books do take research,
mm-hmm.
But those books that take the research are the other piece of advice, which is write from your heart, what you have passion about.
Yeah.
And I do have passion about social issues.
Yeah.
And so I like to sneak those in.
Yeah.
And so if I can write a story that potentially has some impact to create some awareness around certain things that people have preconceived notions about, that is from my heart, and that's what I have great passion for.
Yeah.
No. I can't write stories, you know, I try to write the typical formulaic romance, and I don't have a passion for it. I have to write just those unusual kinds of stories.
Yeah, yeah.
That
so,
I have more passion for.
Cool. So, and obviously this next one, as you said, is going to be, that's going to be sort of pushing boundaries again. So what's that one called again, the one that's coming out in January?
It's called Unconventional Lovers,
okay.
And the one of the couples is very, very unconventional, and it will push the boundaries, and it already, I think, you know, the history behind this was it was almost a book that wasn't going to get published because of the controversial nature of the one couple, and so it'll be interesting. I maintain that I believe this will do well because it's a great story, and if people can just get beyond those preconceived notions, I think they'll find it equally as positive as Locked Inside was.
Okay, all right. I'm very intrigued, and you're playing your cards very close to your chest. So clearly, you want to keep it for your snippets to leak it out, right? So
yeah, I'm gonna leak it. I think I'll start leaking out little things in December, maybe.
Okay.
I'll do maybe video, maybe audio. I'm not quite sure. Sometimes I just pop into Facebook Live because feel like it. Again, I'm a fly-by-the-seat of the pants kind of person.
Okay, so we'll look out for those. Keep an eye on your Facebook and your website. And final question, if you could be the love child of any two writers, alive or dead, who would you choose and why?
Oh my goodness, the love child of any two writers. Oh, if I tell you two writers, I'll miss out on probably sharing some of the writers who are my favorite writers, and I always dodge the question of who's your favorite writer because I have so many. So wow, it might be an orgy because there would just be so many of those favorite writers, and then I would have to also bend the bounds of what's possible and say it would be two women.
Oh yeah, no, we encourage that. We encourage that.
An amalgamation of many writers. let's say I would be the love child of an amalgamation of all those lesbian writers that I love. How's that?
Okay, that's dodging the question, but I can tell you're
it
not going to be moved.
It is.
Okay. Super. Well, this has been fantastic, Annette, and I will let you go because I know you've got a 6.5-hour drive. But before you do, where can people find out more about you?
Well, I have a Facebook page. Affinity Rainbow Publications is my publisher, and you can go there. All my books are on Amazon. They're on Smashwords, a number of different places. Sometimes I put up YouTube videos. I have a mailing list. I have blogs that come out every week. So just type in Annette Morey, you'll find me.
Okay, cool. All right, well, this has been great. Thank you so much for taking the time, and good luck with all the books that you've got coming out next year.
Thank you so much, and okay. Have a great evening.
Thank you. Take care.
That's the end of this Lesbian Book Club, so this is me, Claire Lydon, signing off. If you fancy dipping into any of my books, my new book, Twice in a Lifetime, or any of the others, the All I Want series, the London Romance series, Nothing to Lose, or The Long Weekend, you can find out more at www.clairelydon.co.uk, or just look me up on Amazon, Kobo, iTunes, or any of the other digital outlets. I'm also on Twitter at Claire Lydon, so come on down and follow me there. And if you've yet to try any of my books, sign up to my readers group at my website and you can bag yourself a free Christmas romance to see if you like what I do. Thanks to Denise at My Lesbian Radio for hosting and producing this podcast. It's much appreciated. And make sure you tune into the Lesbian Lounge for all the latest LGBT news, views, interviews and gossip, as well as Ragtime, the other fantastic podcast on the platform. Join me in the new year when I will be back with more hot book club action. See you then.